Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Cephalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubcephalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Tonight's guest, Mr. Martin Giles. That, I know, it was a mouthful. Directing Parlor Song for Quantum. And as is the case with Quantum, it's always site-specific. And we are here in the old Pittsburgh Burger Company.
Correct.
So what is it about this play in particular that harkens to the history of the burger?
Absolutely nothing.
I like it.
No.
Keep us guessing.
But it does hearken to the sort of the mallness of things, to like chain places and modern suburban living and modern suburban, you know, like this is, we're at the waterfront, so it's like one of the complexes, like the waterfront and stuff. There's a whole, the play is pretty much set in a suburb, and it. And a major character in the play is a mall. So,
and I should mention too that we are on set right now.
We are.
I didn't want anybody to think that this was maybe your kitchen or something.
Kind of, you know. On set. this is nicer than my kitchen. Way nicer. Yeah.
But the actors will be right here.
They will, right where we're
in
sitting.
In just a few
There'll
weeks.
Be a scene,
this is
right?
Very exciting. Yeah. So what was it that attracted you to this script, aside perhaps from maybe Carla Booz calling you up and saying, have I got a job for you?
That was it.
No, oh, okay.
It. No,
next question.
It. No, we started reading. She had seen this play of Jez Butterworth, the playwrights on Broadway, Jerusalem, which was a big hit a couple of years ago with Mark Rylance. And she was really amazed by the play. And I had, the only Jez Butterworth play I had known was Mojo, which was one of his early, it was even earlier than this. And so we started reading them. She was like really into him, and she said, you need to read this guy because he's right up your alley. And we read five or six of his plays, and we loved them all, and we were like, bandying them around and trying to figure out which one we wanted to do, and then we ended up with this one because it seems, you know, he's a bit, you know, he's English, you know, so this one speaks to things that I think we understand pretty well in America, not only the sort of the setting, what's become of the land, you know. And the development of things and the loss of things, but also it's really a play about a marriage, and a husband and wife and the husband's best friend. So it's one of those
deals.
So that's a kind of thing that it comes from a different, slightly different place.
Would you call it a love story?
Yes. I would call it a love story, actually. Yeah, it's love gone odd. yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, well, love gone odd because of the circumstances of contemporary life, really. Mm-hmm. I think he's, part of it is a little critique of that sort of
that,
thing, what it does to relationships.
That darn contemporary life. It
well,
does
you know,
get in the way.
It leans on things.
Mm-hmm.
It does, yeah.
As I sit here with a wireless microphone
right,
and
right.
lighting and such. But who are our performers?
We have three fabulous actors. We have Brendan McMahon, Sarah Silk, and Cameron Knight.
Now, of all of the characters in this
show. Mm-hmm. Which one do you feel you relate to the most?
The woman.
No, why so?
I'm just
wardrobe
<it's a> joke.
well, I don't know. You know, there may be something.
Well, no, there are actually things about her that I do relate to. Yeah, she wants to be free, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think I relate to the husband the most. He's a guy who he's soft-hearted. He's really caring. He wants to hold on to things. He wants to make sure everything's all right. He wants to, so he ends up being a little controlling, but it's from a place of some kind of strange sympathy. So he's a really interesting, and he's a bit of a loser. So, you know, I totally always identify with that.
Well, I was going to say, I take one look at you and I get all that, but
loser.
Then you had to throw that
in.
Oh,
that was good.
I no, well, we don't.
Sorry, I jumped down that joke.
It's all right. It's all right. But most folks in Pittsburgh, I think, you know you primarily as an actor.
Right.
Have you directed with Quantum before?
I have. This is actually the fourth show I've directed for Quantum.
Okay, so you're no stranger than to directing in odd places.
No. In fact, I prefer it now.
I think.
Well, I like the making the whole theater aspect of it. You know, making the whole place the place where the play takes place.
Mm-hmm.
So not just, you know, you go into a theater and it takes place up on the stage, you know. It's great to come in and just convert the whole space.
So do you feel that this particular space has shaped this production, or maybe vice versa, other way around?
I think it works both ways, actually. Yeah. This space has definitely shaped the production because it has these interesting features places you can see through to different places. It has kind of like windows that we can look through into another room. So it's given us a lot of ideas about how to stage the play.
So taking a look at Quantum's history of location. Yeah. This might be relatively tame. So
it's more comfortable than many.
So yeah. where's the strangest place you've had to direct a show?
I guess the strangest place I directed was the first play I directed, which was When the Rain Stops Falling, which was in in the old Pittsburgh Brewing Company, in the packing plant part of it, which was way the heck at the end of this long string of buildings down this little street. It was way behind.
Just the place I want to go to
see
theater at 9 o'clock on a Friday night.
But it was huge. That was the thing about it. It had these 40-foot ceilings, and we put Ayers Rock in it. So it was.
I tell you, you know, I hope to sit down with Carla Booz herself sometime. I think, you know, what she's done with the company is absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And the locations that she's found. Is there any place in Pittsburgh that you are just dying to do a show that hasn't been done?
Oh, wow.
Is there anything that's calling out
like
to you?
A building? Like a building?
A building, a place? Because, you know, Quantum knows no boundaries.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It could be indoor, it could be outdoor, it could be on top of a building, underneath a building.
Yeah. You know, I love the tops of parking garages. Like some of the parking garages downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Are so the top of them is so cool because this you know, the buildings are all around you, and it's a concrete jungle, but it's also like but there's also big sky at the same time. So I think that the roof of a parking garage would be.
So what's the show we're doing there?
Jeez, some Greek tragedy, I think. Mm. Don't you think? Yeah,
very good.
Yeah, I think maybe.
I knew you'd have the answer.
Yeah, yeah, I think it would be. I think it's the Bacchae. That was the first one that came into my
Gesundheit. And are you thinking fall, spring, summer? Winter would be very decadent.
No. Yeah, I think definitely summer.
Okay.
Yeah, so that, you know, everyone...
For the comfort of your patrons.
Well, it's the Bacchae, and, you know, then everyone could be naked. So
this is
that
a
would be
very important consideration.
On the top of a parking garage. How well do you think that would go over?
I think it happens, regardless if there's an audience or
probably
not.
Probably does happen. Do you think we'd have to get like special? Or we'd have to go to city council and get a.
Well, I tell you what, Carla seems
an
very connected
of some kind
because you know she gets the permits to do the shows.
Yeah,
so I'm not suggesting that she's come across this, but
no.
I'm just saying perhaps
no,
she would know somebody that could pull the strings.
She might not approve, actually. Well, she might not. It's my idea. You asked me. It's my idea.
We'll get her in here. Give her a Berg Vivant martini.
All right.
We'll see what
and
we can
do. By the way,
do.
Everybody, these things are incomparable.
They are. We spare no expense here, Marty.
Oh, my God.
Now, Kevin, you're an old pro at that. Let's not pretend.
I've spilled.
Well, we have a very extensive vodka budget. That's that true. Is okay. That's line item number one. So, back to parlor song.
Okay.
The title might imply it is musical.
Yeah. But it's not. No.
No music whatsoever.
There will be some music, but more. You know, more in terms of a soundtrack for it than, but no, it's not musical. It's a language play. It's a play where the writer is a pretty much a master of the use of dramatic language, and it's beautiful and really strange and very funny, and.
So, what is the meaning of Parlor Song, the title?
Well, you know, we've actually been having ongoing discussions about what the meaning of it is. The thing about parlor is it's sort of an old-fashioned word, and it's
British spelling, by the way.
British spelling, yes, O-U-R. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the, you know, it's the place where you sit and probably have tea, and you know, it has this sort of sense of manners and a sense of kind of like hiding things of there's some sort of life that goes on underneath what happens in the parlor.
Yeah, if it were my parlor, God knows what's under my couch, so you know, I can relate to this tenfold.
You want to talk about furniture? Sure.
I mean, I didn't come here to do that necessarily. No. But you never know where these conversations go.
I know. Yeah, I mean that's as much. I think my actors could all probably all have their own idea about what it means actually. So
no, I think that may in some cases be a very good sign.
It's a really good sign. They're really smart and thoughtful actors.
What has been the biggest challenge for you as a director with this play in particular?
I said to somebody the other day that this play is we tend to, as we're rehearsing, end up stopping and sitting around talking about what's going on a lot. The play presents you with it's very layered, and as you go along in rehearsal, you think you're going in a certain direction, and then some new enigma pops up and, that has to be dealt with. So it has that kind of. That's been the greatest challenge so far is to, you know, to keep figuring it out, to keep dealing with all of these questions.
It's a gift that keeps on giving, and hopefully to the audience as well.
Yeah, I think that the audience there are all kinds of things that an audience can get out of this play. Yeah.
Something for everybody.
Yeah, more than one thing for everybody.
Well, good. Hey, that's worth the ticket price, I'll say. So if there's somebody out there who has never ever been to a Quantum show, what can they expect from Parlor Song?
They can expect to laugh. They can expect to be moved. They can expect to have many thoughts provoked, I think.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And we can see it?
You can see it starting November 1st.
Perfect.
Through
coming right
November
up.
24th. Thank you. Yeah, somebody over there.
The cue card was just slipped for a moment, but we're back, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Through the 24th. Here at the old...
The old Burger Company.
Burger Company.
Yes, indeed. So, you know, if you didn't get to, you know, have a burger here while it was in business, you can kind of come and see the remains.
I know.
Do you yourself enjoy a good burger on occasion?
I love a good burger. Are you kidding me?
What's the Marty Giles burger?
What's on a burger?
Well, if you made it your way,
Well, it's medium rare. I think bacon and, like, Stilton cheese and... Little red onion, maybe.
Very nice.
Yeah.
We'll put a recipe for this in the blog.
Yeah. Okay.
Fantastic. And you, when you're putting that Stilton on your burger, salute Marty Giles.
That's right.
And come down and see Parlor
you
Song.
You should.
Excellent. Excellent. Marty, thank you so much for being here. Great chatting with you. We hope to chat with you again.
Okay.
Break a leg.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and BergVivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find BergVivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.